Hi, you're tuning in to Awani Review with me, Cynthia Ng. On this show, we have been discussing the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic to industries. And on this show today, we want to zoom into the hospitality and tourism sectors, which have been the hardest hit. And joining me now on the show is Roslina Arbak. She is the Managing Director and CEO of Desaro Development Holdings. Desaro Development Holdings is the master developer of Desaro Coast in Johor. Great to have you here, Roslina, and thank you for making the trip up to Kuala Lumpur for this interview. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Cynthia.
All right. Now, we know that tourism sector is still grappling with the COVID-19 pandemic. So I want to start off by talking about the impact, right? Did you ever imagine the sort of disruption that we have been seeing with the COVID-19 pandemic to the industry?
Have anyone ever expected this? I guess no. So the impact is something that no one has ever expected this to happen, and the impact is tremendous to this industry of tourism, and no less for Desaro Coast. We have been impacted since it happened. The MCO started as early as March this year, in fact even slightly before the 18th of March. But then again, it is what it is. So it's a question of how we look at trying to recover, or how we want to rebuild this business back and bring it back into pre-COVID environment.
Can you tell us about the impact or the damage it has done to Desaro Coast development before the lockdown and what you're seeing now?
Desaro Coast being a very new holiday destination down south, we were just building up, and we had about 3 hotels open during that time, and 2 golf courses and a water park that was already in operations. We started to see numbers coming in, both from the domestic market as well as from market from Singapore, mm-hmm. Even some regional markets as well. As we were building that up, and when this pandemic unfortunately happened, we had a little bit of a setback, naturally. But what we did was we spent that 3-4 months of the MCO during the lockdown to look at how we want to rebuild the business, how we want to regain get back the market back into the Desaro Coast. And that was one of the things that we spent our time on during that 3-4 months. And we realized that what needed to be done was to build confidence for people to travel again. And that's where we spent our time most, on how to ensure we were able to bring the market back to the Desaro Coast.
I'd like to get more on those strategy and measures, but just want to hone in a bit more on the impact. Were you prepared for it? You know, what went through your mind when, you know, it happened and the lockdown was announced? How soon did you come up with a strategy to really, you know, plan out that few months, and what you're going to do to ensure survival of the development?
Suddenly, the Desaro Coast became like a quiet little space where there was nobody. We also had to worry about the employees that we've got, right? So we had to take some critical measures in managing that, so that we can try and keep as many people in their jobs as long as they possibly could. And I think with the federal government's assistance, we were able to keep them in their jobs. But then again, it was not just about sitting around and just waiting.
Correct.
But we actually spent a lot of time at different levels to actually protect our assets. There were certain operations at the destination where we had to continue work on site, the essential services back then, where we had to continue to ensure the staff were protected. And I think our priority then was to ensure our staff were safe, and to ensure that the essential services continue to continue in a very safe environment. We already, at that point of time, even before this pandemic, we already had a campaign of Stay Well at the Desaro Coast.
Right.
So therefore, it was just about enhancing that further to ensure that all our staff were safe. That was our priority at that point of time. While at the back end, the rest of the management team was working towards a strategy on how we want to rebuild and regain the confidence of the people to travel when the so-called the borders between state were able to open for leisure travels, we were ready. And that was what our strategy was at that point of time. we ensured that we enhanced the stay well at the Zaru Coast, not just based on the SOP set by MKN, but mm-hmm. also beyond that. So that was what we were doing during the 3 months of the MCO.
The Zaru Coast was built in part to attract domestic tourism, but also largely to capitalize on tourism dollars from Singapore. Right. So how has this impacted your strategy moving forward and seeing that the borders are partially open but only to allow essential services, people with work permits, leisure travel mm-hmm. is probably still quite a long way to go.
Correct. Well, I guess at the moment we still need to actually focus on our efforts on the domestic market. And the last 2 months when we started to see the domestic leisure travels, we see a lot of, it's a major increase of the domestic travels. And many would have known the Zaru Coast has got products that has got from a 5-star all the way to a ultra luxury products. So therefore, we realized that there's actually still good tourism dollars within the country. But yes, irrespective of the fact that we saw increase in the domestic market, this disruption of the COVID-19 does put a setback to having foreign tourism dollars coming in. But then again, what we should be doing, we should be preparing tactical campaigns and products to ensure that by the time borders open, irrespective whether it's travel bubble borders or whatever it is, but at the end of the day, we have products ready for mm-hmm. them to actually travel back into the Zaru Coast. As a matter of fact, we also have, even at the moment, introduced campaigns of buy now, travel later, applicable for the foreign market as well. So that kind of flexibility makes it very attractive and keep the Zaru Coast at the top of mind for people who's going to travel back into the Zaru or Malaysia.
You said that domestic tourism has been very good in the past couple of months after Correct. The lockdown. Can you give us a sense of how good it is, maybe in terms of number, and really, has business recovered from the lockdown?
What we've done is we have never been a person who played with trying to just throw in throw prices out mm-hmm. in the market. What we've done is we've done packaging and bundling to make to come up with promotions and tactical promotions. And I think what we sell out there in the Zaru Coast, it's not just about our hotels and so on, but we sell the level of confidence that this you can travel in peace if you come to the Zaru Coast, because our tactical campaign of don't join the crowd is something that has taken has got a very strong traction because of our 17 kilometers of beachfront, our lush spaces and eco mm-hmm. Biodiversified environment has made us very attractive. And because of our international brand names that we've got, so certain levels of health and safety standards are being followed. So therefore, building confidence, and we built on that to make to create confidence in the travel market. So therefore, the local domestic markets who are looking for a safe haven for them to bring their families would definitely consider the Zaru Coast as a place where they feel confident to bring their family and travel with a peace of mind.
Okay. Yeah. Now I'd like to take a step back to zoom in on the Zaru Coast offerings. This was a 4.5 billion ringgit project.
Right.
It's a joint venture between the state government of Johor and Khazanah National. This includes a huge water park, golf courses, a few major hotels. Let's go back and talk about the vision, right? When you took on this task to really rejuvenate the area, because Zaru Coast was a very popular tourist destination, I think, back in the 70s, 80s, but has lost a bit of its attractiveness over the years. So what was the vision? You know, what can we expect from this development?
Okay, correctly said, Cynthia, the Zaru Coast has always been the getaway, the quick getaway for many Malaysians, not just Johorians, back then. It had hotels already in existence when, by the time the organisation wanted to come and develop the Zaru Coast. So what we did was, instead of cannibalising the existing hotels that's already there, we enhanced the position of the Zaru by putting in international brand names, like the Hard Rock Hotel, the Westin, the Anantara, the one and only, that's going to open only in September this year, with products that in the Els Club golf course as well. So therefore, it really elevates the Zaru Coast as an international destination in the southern region. So therefore, that was the vision of an integrated destination that provides something for everyone. So if you are bringing a family, whether you're a couple, whether you're a golfer, whether you're just an outdoor, whether you're a all the different types of travelers, actually, there's something for everyone down in the Zaru Coast. That was the intention of doing this integrated development, to coexist with the already existing properties that's already there, and also the environment. We took advantage of the environment and the location of the Zaru Coast to position it as at an international level.
Now let's talk about the path to recovery, right? The tourism sector, hotel, hospitality, and also for the Zaru Coast. You spoke about tactical campaigns,
right,
and this really is a great opportunity, a time, right? Despite whatever is happening, the impact, a great opportunity and time to rethink your strategy, right? To build trust among consumers. So tell us about what's in store. How do you navigate or prepare yourself for the eventual recovery of tourism?
Okay, as I mentioned earlier, our tactical campaign of "Don't Join the Crowd" has got a lot of traction since we launched it in early July. So therefore, we've been putting out there is that we have space, we have lush rolling greens, we have 17 kilometers of beach run. We've got international brand names who are very conscious of health and safety. So our standards of health and safety goes beyond the MKN's requirement. So therefore, what we have sold out there and prepared the team and as well as the campaigns that we put out there is about having trust and confidence of coming to the Zaru Coast for a holiday, because we've got the space and you can enjoy the space. That's what we've been putting our positions out there. And a lot of our curated programs and activities are actually programs and activities that you can do individually. A lot of outdoor activities like mangrove tours and ATV rides and beach activities and all, a lot of it are actually, it can be done single or within the family. So therefore, we ensure that the safety and health standards that's required are being observed very strongly. Giving an example, even our water park, even though it has a capacity of a 5,000 capacity a day, at any one time, sorry, we are only allowing 1,500 maximum at any one time. So therefore, it gives enough space and for people, we have enough space for people to spread that out, 1,500 people to spread it out. So, and we've seen that traction ever since we've launched this campaign.
It is a fairly new development. It didn't really have a chance to take off in a meaningful way before the pandemic hit in March. Speaking of your target audience, target market from across the border, Singapore, right? What are you doing right now in preparation for a recovery and in preparation for when borders reopen between both countries?
Okay, what we've done is we continue to do our promotions in Singapore. We continue to ensure our marketing efforts put the Zaru Coast as the top of mind when they decide or when they're able to travel. As I said, what for our neighbors from Singapore, space is what they need, and that's what we've got to give them. Space, a lot of sea, the sun, and it's what we've got to for them to enjoy. And as I said, I mentioned earlier, we have marketing packages of buy now and travel later. So all that is already out there in the market. So therefore, we will be the top of mind by the time they it is time for them to travel out. And I think for golfers especially, with 45 holes of golf in the Zaru Coast, I think we've got a lot to offer for the Singaporeans who like to travel out and come and play golf, I guess. But and I think what's important for Singaporeans, I think to us, is drivable.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. They can just drive across whenever the borders reopen for the leisure market, and we are there.
And I understand there will be a ferry terminal between both, well, Singapore and directly to Desaru Coast.
Correct. So yes, we are actually currently under construction. We're about 54% ready construction of our own Desaru Coast Ferry Terminal, and that's expected to be in operations in June next year, which I guess timely enough when we're able to pick up the tourism market again for arrivals into Singapore as well as people living in Singapore. So this ferry terminal, we're very excited. It's one of the mains. It's a, I guess, a important connectivity into Singapore, and I think we're also looking at connecting into Indonesian islands as well, because our entry point has got the full CIQ facilities. Yeah, so we're excited about that. I think that's going to be a very important turning point in connectivity between the two countries, and the, well, it's an added connectivity, plus also into Indonesia as well.
Okay, now let's talk about what are some of the products in the pipeline, right, to sustain growth and to keep people excited about what you have to offer in the Desaru Coast.
Okay, as I said, our campaign and our marketing campaign will continue to grow and to be developing products to ensure that we maintain a certain level and standards that is befitting of an international positioning. As I said, in this time when people are looking for promotions, our promotions doesn't necessarily mean cheaper hotels, cheaper room rates and things like that, or cheaper destination. It doesn't have to necessarily mean that. I think what's important when you make a decision to travel, apart from looking for good promotions, you've got to look at the ability of the product to give you confidence, give you the peace of mind of taking yourself as well as your family to the destination. And I think that's what I have been, or me and my team have been focusing on, to ensure that whatever products, bundling packages that we put out there, it is not just value for money, but it's also to actually sell the whole experience of being in a peaceful, travel with a peace of mind into the Zaru Coast. And I think that's more important during this period of time, whether it's the domestic market or the future markets from that's coming out when the borders reopen. I think that's what we're selling, ability to be confident to travel to the Zaru Coast.
I'd like to talk about one of your product offering, One and Only Resort, which is about which is slated to launch in September. It was supposed to launch, I think, in March 2020, but it was disrupted by the pandemic, right? What can you tell us about this development and your target market? Because it's quite a departure from the rest of your offerings within the Desaru Coast development, right?
Okay, we're very excited. One and Only finally is going to open the doors in September this year. Yes, the delay, I guess, give an opportunity for the landscape to get even more lush. At the moment, because of what the situation is today, the travel situation is, yes, definitely it's still domestic market, but understanding from my fellow colleague who is managing the One and Only, there's already very good bookings on the books. So which means there are a lot of affluent domestic travelers out there who's been looking for a product like One and Only. And the fact that we are a drivable, within Peninsula Malaysia, we are a drivable destination, makes it a very, very attractive product.
Now, I'd like to just get your thoughts about the learnings that you have experienced during this pandemic. You were in property development for close to 20 years, and then you went into hospitality. What learnings did you bring from your previous portfolio into this current one? And how different has it been for you?
Okay, quite different types of development I did back then. It was more township development back then. But then again, in property development, I think the value of the assets become very, very important. Mm. All right. I mean, having the right brand names, having the right positioning, having a right back then when you're developing a township, you talk about address. They're having the right address. For this, you've got to have the right positioning of your product and be consistent with your product positioning. Therefore, it will actually enhance the value of your assets. And I think that's what the Zaru Coast has done right, i.e. having its position of integrated international destination. And I think being true to that and stay true to that from the marketing aspects and the brand positioning, we will be able to put the Zaru Coast into the international market as a destination to be reckoned with in the future.
When it comes to branding, right, messaging right. will be key Correct. In this couple of months, you know, as you prepare for recovery. What are some of the valuable business lessons that you have learned during this pandemic?
Cost management, very important, mm-hmm. all right? But then again, we have to be cognizant of the fact that, you know, we need to also spend marketing dollars to be able to bring the business, but yet again, spending it in the right way, spending the marketing dollars at the right channel to bring the right target market that we are targeting. So I think that's one of the things that we need to, one of the things that we've learned about cost management as well.
Did you have to make tough decisions, for example, cost cuts, layoffs?
Yes, we have to make very, very difficult decisions. We had pay cuts. We had to do some pay cuts. And I think one of the things that we were grappling about at the top management was whether or not we just pay cut at only certain levels or we do a staggered pay cut across the board, right? And we took the second option because we wanted to make sure that every single employee, to keep your job, we have to be responsible together for the survival of this destination. So we took that position, but today all of them appreciate the fact that they still have a job with us, and hopefully with this market picking up, we're able to sustain that going forward.
Now finally, I just want to touch on, you know, the culture of a company, right? Mm-hmm. During this inactivity or mm-hmm. this whole lockdown period, it's really an opportunity for people to talk about, you know, how to do things differently, you know, how to think more entrepreneurial, like how to Correct. Be more like a startup, right? Have there been any cultural shift during this time?
I enhance my message to my team more and more that every one of us are salesmen. Okay, from day one, I've always said we're all salesmen. We work for this organization, irrespective whether you're just a maintenance guy, whether you're a head of finance, or whatever other positions, we are all selling this product. We're all salesmen. And that hasn't changed, and that it was, and I told them, you've got to work even harder now as a salesman. You still got to keep the grass cut, but you still got to go out and help me sell. So even during the time I could not physically be with the team on the ground, we had virtual town hall. Hundreds of us were on a virtual town hall, and that was the messaging I continuously tell them, and that's how I stay connected with my team.
How do you keep them motivated?
To tell them that we all own this place together. This is home away from home. We have staff from Sabah, Sarawak, Kedah, Kelantan, and they're all staying there with us. I'm just as responsible for them and away from home, and therefore you've got to make sure this is your home. And if you own this place as your home, you will be responsible and you will make sure that it succeeds. And I think that's important because I think we own this place jointly. It's not mine, it's not yours, it's ours.
All right. Well, yep. Thank you so much, Roslina, for spending time with us to talk about, you know, what the Zaru Coast has to offer. And I'm looking forward to visit your
You should.
Development. Thanks for joining us again on Awani Review.
Thank you, Cynthia.
Watching Awani Review with me, Cynthia Ng. We'll see you again next time. Goodbye.